That's recording too. What's up, everybody? Welcome to This Week in Zoltan. This is episode 320. I just looked it up. I haven't done an episode since August 20th. I'm sorry for the delay. It's episode 327. What's up, everybody? Coming at you on this beautiful Tuesday, rainy, stormy, climate changey, gray Tuesday. I hope you're doing well. I haven't done one of these in a while. I'm already forgetting how to do them. Upcoming dates. Dude, I'm planning a big-ass tour for 2022, and it's independently put on. I can say that. What I'm doing is I'm doing less weekends at comedy clubs. I love comedy clubs, but I only want to work the comedy clubs that are willing to give me a piece of the door. Pay me a little bit more. So what I'm doing is going out on a limb, and I'm renting out music venues, independent theaters, doing off nights at comedy clubs, and setting up a door deal. And Emma, my lovely fiancée, is helping me with, she's doing all the Facebook advertising and all that stuff. So it's a real DIY, punk rock, except me, comedy tour. We're going to be, like I said, music venues, independent theaters, blah, blah, blah. We're putting in the ad dollars, renting the venues, and I'm betting on myself. And so if you haven't already, go to my website, ZoltanComedy.com. Sign up for my mailing list. I'm sure if you listen to this podcast, you are into me enough to already be on my mailing list. But if you're not, get on it. And I'll let you know when I'm coming to your town. But as of right now, January and February are pretty stacked. All right? Like, I'll read them all. January, all right, we're starting in San Diego. And it just got booked today, January 5th. It's a Wednesday. We're going to be at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. January 6th, we will be in Phoenix at the Valley Bar. The 7th, we're in Tucson at Club Congress. The 8th, we're in Albuquerque at the Moonlight Lounge. The 9th, we're in Prescott, Arizona at the Attic. Then I'm home for a little bit. And then the 20th, Atlanta. The 21st, Savannah, Georgia. The 22nd, Statesboro, Georgia. The 23rd, we're working on Jacksonville. I had a venue. It fell through. Now I'm trying to get another venue. And then the 24th, Orlando. The 25th, Tampa. The 26th through the 29th, Port Charlotte at Vasani Comedy Theater. I'm back there again. And then we end January on the 30th in Boca Raton, Florida. That's January. And then in February, I'm headed to the Bay Area to do the Alameda Comedy Club, which is like right by Oakland in Alameda, California. So if you're in Oakland or San Francisco or anywhere there, San Jose, get in your car and drive in traffic. You're used to it. Come up to the show. I also have a show set up in Charlotte, and I'm working on adding on Asheville, Myrtle Beach, Wilmington, that whole area. I have dates set up in Seattle, Washington, D.C. I'm working on Portland. There's a lot of dates. And 2022, it's the Back to Work Tour. Emma also designed an awesome poster for me. You can go to my website, ZoltanComedy.com, buy one of those. I'll personally mail it to you. Why? Because I'm the only employee at Zoltan Cassis Industries, and lovely Emma is helping me out pro bono. Like a lawyer who's doing a community service, and that community service is my comedy career. So I'm really excited about that. I'm sorry I haven't done one of these podcasts in so long. Haven't been motivated to. I think, you know, as weird as, I feel like a lot of people took 2020 hard. For me personally, 2021 has been that year. So a lot of the trials and tribulations people went through in 2020, I feel like I'm going through this year. And, so yeah, I've taken a little bit of a break. Just the stop and go of, I guess, stand up has been really hard to do. It's been, I don't know, it's messed with me. And I started going to therapy, you know, to get in touch with my inner self, which I feel therapy is very popular now. But I'm late to everything. I make fun of everything until I end up joining the thing. I did that with skinny jeans. I remember doing that with like collared rugby type shirts from like 2007. I made fun of those, and then before you knew it, I was wearing one every day. It's just always what I've done. Right now, I'm making fun of light-colored jeans and count down 6 months before you see me in a pair of light-colored jeans. Like, I know it's going to happen, but until it does, I will make fun of it. I used to make fun of these Champion sweaters, and I just got mine in the mail today, and I feel cool as a cucumber. I'm as cool as the other side of the pillow. I feel amazing, but first, I have to naturally make fun of something before I end up joining that something. And that was the same with therapy, so I started going to therapy. And I don't want anyone to worry about me. I'm fine. Like, I'm okay. I'm just the regular, you know. I'm not depressed. It's just the right amount of depressed. I used to have a bit about it on stage, and I think I'm going to bring it back. I'm the right amount of depressed. I'm depressed enough to be humble and likable. And I think that's important for everybody. Like, you ever meet someone who has no depression in their life at all? There's just those people that walk into a room just like, carpe diem. Yeah, every day is an opportunity. And you're like, you could use a little depression, you know? I was like the right amount of depressed. I'm the kind of depressed, like I would never hurt myself or kill myself. But I would like to die naturally soon, you know? But naturally, like naturally. I feel like I made you happy than sad. I don't know. I'm assuming your responses, but all that's to make you laugh. And the point is, I started going to therapy, and it's been good. Speaking about my feelings may seem, from your standpoint, or like someone who looks at a comedian and they go, oh, they talk about their feelings all the time. On stage, I'll talk about it on the podcast, but like in person, one-on-one, I'm pretty closed off. I'm the type of person that you put me on a stage in front of 200 people, I have no idea who they are, and I'm comfortable. I can almost tell them just about anything about my life. But you put me in a restaurant with someone I know, and it's hard for me to look them in the eye and go, I hate this restaurant. I don't know. That's just who I don't know. So that's what I'm working on. And I feel like every comedian's a little bit of a train wreck. It's just to what degree and how much you hide it and to what you're going through. But I'm totally good. Everyone's healthy and happy. Just working on a little bit of me. I'm just trying to, you know, not keep the feelings in my chest. And it's been fun to do bits about therapy. That's like the fun thing that I've noticed is when I do my therapy jokes, depending on the crowd I'm in front of, they start and end differently. Like, the joke's the same, but the reaction from the audience is very different. Like, if I'm in front of, like, a liberal audience, I just mention that I started going to therapy, and they give me a standing ovation like I just got the Nobel Peace Prize. They're like, woo, this is great. And then I do my bit about therapy, where it's just like I'm doing a bit about anything, where I kind of make fun of it. That's what I do. I poke fun at it a little bit, and then slowly the laughter comes down a little bit. Whereas opposed to like me doing it in front of maybe a more conservative audience, I bring up therapy and they acted like I just farted in a baby's face. It's quiet and they're a little offended. They want to know where I'm going with it. Everyone starts feeling uncomfortable. And then as I start getting into the bit, then they start opening up and enjoying it. And it's been fun to see that difference. You know, like one of the jokes I've been doing, I was like, I always thought like thoughts and feelings were meant to be kept in your chest where they belong. Like, don't let them out, because if you let them out, maybe someone hears it and goes, good Lord, you know, and judges you. Who knows? Like, if you let that out, next thing you know, you might be storming the Capitol. Like, that was someone's idea. That was someone's thought. That was someone's feeling that was meant to be kept in their chest, but it snuck out of their face. And next thing you knew, that guy turned to his left, and there's some guy dressed like a yak next to him, and they're storming the Capitol. And they're like, holy, whoa, I guess we're doing it. And so, I don't know. That's like the kind of back and forth I'm having with it. But I'm having fun. I'm having fun talking about it. And overall, even though this year has been, you know, tough. Now we're towards the end of it. We have 2 days left, or 3 days left. And I'm really pumped about that. I'm really pumped that we have 3 days left of this year and we're starting the new year, and I'm pumped to be doing the tour. And I'm planning on filming a new hour and putting that out. And yes, the Omicron scares the hell out of me, because I feel like, I don't think my tour is going to get canceled in January, because all my tour dates are in states that I don't think ever shut down. I don't think Arizona, Georgia, and Florida, I don't think COVID happened there. I mean, it happened, but I don't think they did anything about it. So I don't think those dates are in trouble. But as far as everything else, like taping in San Diego, like, because I love doing my recordings here. I have a couple locations that I'm eyeballing to do a recording. I feel like they would, and I wouldn't want to film a special. I wouldn't want to film a comedy album with people with, like, masks on. Like, I've had friends that did it. My buddy Dustin filmed his first special in front of people with masks, and he killed it. He did great, but, like, he was already planning on doing it, and then the pandemic hit, so they made the best of it, and his came out great. But now I feel like we're so far into it that if we did go back to masks and lockdowns and half-capacity rules in San Diego, I could just wait, like, another month or two, and it could go back to normal, and then I could film my new hour in front of, an audience with their mouths open. And I can see their disgusting teeth, and they can spew little spittle of not COVID into other people's eyes. That's been the weird part. Like, since Omicron has come up, I've been wearing my mask again. Because I got COVID. Emma and I got COVID over Thanksgiving. Like, right in time for Thanksgiving. We both lost our sense of taste and our sense of smell. And it sucked. We're both vaccinated. So, like, the symptoms were mild. Like, we weren't close to going to the hospital or anything, but it still sucked. And the worst part was the losing your sense of taste and smell. Like, we did Thanksgiving without taste or smell, which is horrible. The joke I came up with that I've done on stage is it's like going to an orgy with erectile dysfunction. All right? You're like, why am I even here? Should I just stand in the corner and watch? Like, I'm useless at this event. So it was a real pain in the ass. So now that Omicron's coming back, even though we're vaccinated and we just had COVID, which with as much information as we have about COVID, I don't even know the truth to it. But I think that means, like, we're impenetrable. I don't know. I think it's good that we're vaccinated and we had it. I think it means we're less likely to get the Omicron, at least from the little bit that I've read. Because I like to read, like, the first three paragraphs of an article, and if it keeps going for a while, I'm like, I think I get the gist of it. But even with that, I've been trying not to get the Omicron, because I don't want it. I also don't want to be a part of spreading it around. But at the same part, I'm just a selfish human, and I don't want to lose my sense of taste and smell again, because that sucked. It was so frustrating. So I've been wearing my little mask, right? I've still been doing shows, but I wear my little mask. And I did a show on Wednesday, and I think I was, like, the only person in the entire venue. I've done a couple shows like that, where I'm the only person in the venue wearing a mask until I go on stage. So I'm probably not protecting myself at all. I'm just taking my little half-assed effort into half, maybe, possibly, kinda, sorta, protecting myself. But I have noticed this, when I'm wearing a mask, and other people aren't, and they come up and talk to me, they'll just talk right into my eyeball. It's the weirdest thing. Like, I'm wearing a mask, and I'm like, yeah, my ears still work. And they'll just lean in right into my eye. And they'll be like, let me get this into your whatever open orifices we can get this into. And they'll just tell me the secret, whatever they wanted to say right in my eye. And I'm like, I'm getting this, Omicrons. I'm going to get a taste. I'm going to get some of it. So, anyway. I think that's everything that's happened. We got COVID for Thanksgiving. We've gone on some amazing trips and vacations. That was like one of the things I'm really glad Emma and I got to do, because after 2019 was the busiest year I ever had. It was the most money I ever made in a year, but I was also never home. I remember my best friend Dane was my next door neighbor at the time. Dane's been my best friend since We were in the sixth grade, and he told me, he's like, yeah, man, I live next door to you and you're never home. And that really stuck with me. So then for 2020, I had a plan. I was like, I'm only going to work 2 weeks out of the month, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So I can actually enjoy living in San Diego where I pay very high rents. I might as well enjoy some of this and have a life. And Emma and I's, you know, relationship was going. And so I was like, I want to be home. I want to enjoy this. And then the pandemic happened and they're like, why don't you just stay home for the entire year or two? And then things started to open up and I still wanted to stick to the 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, but we got to mix in some traveling. It wasn't just COVID lockdown stuff. Like, we actually got to go do stuff. We rented a big van, one of those van campers, and we drove up to the Bay Area. I did a show in Bakersfield, and then we drove up and to the Redwood Forest in the Bay Area. It's absolutely gorgeous. I like, the most manly experience that I think I've ever had in my life was parallel parking a 20-foot Dodge Ram ProMaster in downtown Santa Cruz. I parallel parked this giant van on the first try. I just, yeah, there was a reverse camera, but don't take this accomplishment away from me. And I just remember whipping it in, slamming it into park, and looking at Emma, and I was like, first take, and she's like, that's amazing. And I just felt amazing for the rest of the day. But the Redwood Forest was so beautiful. I did a new Dry Bar special taping in September, I want to say. And then we also spent time in Zion. While we drove over to Utah, we ended up driving to Provo, Utah. And on the way there, we stopped at Zion. And on the way back, we spent 3 more days at Zion. And, like, not to sound all hippy-dippy, but Zion is so beautiful. It will make you not even just reassess your life. It'll just, like, if you have issues in your life, you'll remember the amazing beauty you saw at Zion and how big and how vast and how gorgeous everything was and how small and insignificant and minute you were in comparison to this vast gorgeousness. And it was this beautiful reminder that whatever issues you have, it doesn't matter. Like, you're not... Some people might take that as depressing, but I actually took it as such a positive to have this notion that whatever issues you have, you are so small and insignificant when you think of the planet as a whole. Don't even throw in the universe. Just think of the planet as a whole. You're so small and insignificant that none of your problems matter. And so anytime... Zion was so beautiful that, like, anytime... I was home and having issues or whatever, feeling however I felt, I always remembered Zion and how gorgeous and vast it was. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Whatever little anxiety I have or depression or poo-poo face or what, it doesn't matter. It was just this beautiful trip. And then we also did Hawaii. Hawaii was amazing. Amazing is a bit of an overstatement. I feel like Hawaii would have been amazing if I lived in Ohio. That's what Emma said. Emma's like, going to the beach in Hawaii is like going to the beach with everyone from the state of Ohio, because that's pretty much what it is. And it is very true. There's a lot of pasty people. We watched a Midwest hump dump almost die trying to not scuba dive. He was just trying to snorkel. He was this big fella, and I'm not fat shaming, I'm just calling it as I see it. He was a big fella, and he had his big dumb mermaid feet on, the flippers, and he had his big dumb goggles and his pipe so he can breathe air from 6 inches above his wet head. And usually when you put on flippers, you put them on in like ankle deep water, and this guy's like, that's not how I'm doing it. I'm going to put these flippers on in the parking lot. And he's trying to walk across the sand, and he makes it till about 6 inches before he gets to the water and just biffs it on his side. And then big waves start coming in, and this guy's almost drowning in like 8 inches of water. There's just little waves of water coming in, and they're just rolling him around, and he can't get up. His flippers are everywhere. His dumb air pipe has sand in it, and his goggles are fogged up. And these, like, two big tourists, one of these big muscle guys, one of these dudes in their 50s, but they still lift, you know? They started taking whatever Joe Rogan sells. They had to come save his life, like, 8 times. Because the first time they saved his life, he just said thank you and then tried again, fell again, and then just... Blah, blah, blah. And then he eventually got in, and on the way out, he fell like 8 more times, and they had to come in and rescue him. Enough times that, like, I think he owed those people a bucket of beer. At least. Give him a bucket of beer. Something. They saved your life 8 times. We were in a part of Hawaii where there are no lifeguards. And a guy in Corona flip-flops had to shuffle over. He had to get up out of one of those small beach chairs. They're so low, you got to use all your quad strength to get up. You're pretty much doing burpees to get the hell out of your little lawn chair. And you got to go save this dude's life 8 times. Bucket of beers. 1 Corona for each life save, at least. But that was a lot of Hawaii. The most magical part of Hawaii for me was the sea turtles. I have a new favorite animal. I love the sea turtles. Sea turtles, if you don't know, they sleep on the sand. So around sunset, these gorgeous animals will just come out of the water like a tank. They look like those like weird boats that would come on like storming the beach at Normandy, you know? They just appear and then these beautiful sea turtles flipper themselves into the sand and then just put their adorable heads right into the sand. And then you get to see this from like 10 feet away. You get to look at them and you just go, good Lord, you're adorable. You are adorable. I just want to love you and hug you. And you look so wise. Like this one sea turtle was missing his back left flipper. It looked like a shark bit it off. And he just had 3 dumb flippers, and he was, like, trying to get himself up there. And I'm like, what knowledge does that guy have, you know? Like, if he could speak, he'd be like, yeah, don't swim over in that area. That's where I lost my flip. I guess it's not that knowledgeable, but I'm sure he knows more stuff. But overall, the last few months have been really nice. It's been really nice to do comedy sparingly and just to live like a person. And go on vacations and, I don't know, live life a little bit like the rest of you guys do. So, I don't know. That part was really nice. The Omicron thing scares me. I just don't want shows to get canceled. I also want to set up shows in New York City. And I was just on Twitter today, and they just started the new mandates over there. Over there, you have to show proof of vaccine. You have to show you're vaccinated to, like, get into places. So people were protesting. This morning, Burger King was the number one trend because some guy went into a Burger King without his vaccination card. And he's like, I'm not leaving. So they had to call the cops. And that was his big sit-in, was at Burger King. So I tweeted, you know, of course you can't protest at a Burger King. It's a monarchy, which I thought was funny. I tweeted it from bed. I woke up, you know, 30 minutes before, and I'm just like, tweet. And I don't know if this is just a me thing or because I'm a comedian, I'm like, did anyone else have this idea? Because it's kind of there. I thought of it before coffee. So I put in Burger King and Monarchy, and there was like 80 tweets that were similar, is the same thing I tweeted, just different, you know, different order of words. Some people had different deliveries. And I remember seeing that and just going, like, you know what it feels like when you're a comedian and you write something funny or you come up with something and then you just see all these people who aren't comedians come up with the same joke you just did. It just really lets you know that what you do is not that special. Like, it isn't. But it gets me argumentative. Like, every time I tweet something on something topical that I think is funny, and then I see that a bunch of people who aren't comedians had the same idea, I feel like that guy, Tom Smasky, I'm not saying his last name right, but Tom from the movie Office Space, he was the big fat guy, and he was always going into the room to be interviewed by the Bobs, and the Bobs are in charge of like firing people and cutting costs and stuff, and they were asking Tom what he did, and he's like, oh, I talked to the customer, and then I relay that to the engineers. And then they're like, well, can't the customers just talk directly to the engineers? And he's like, no, I'm a people person. And so he's getting all defensive, trying to justify his job. That's how I feel. That's how I feel every time I come up with a tweet on a topical idea, and then like 80 people that aren't comedians come up with that same idea. I feel like Tom being interviewed by the Bobs going, well, I have stage presence. They don't, they're probably scared to be on a stage. They don't have what I have. They don't have what I belong. I need to exist. I need to be here. This is where I belong. And it's just such a, it's almost like Zion. I think coming up with an idea, tweeting it, and then having people also come up with the same idea just lets us know we're all insignificant, baby. We're all doing well. Trust me, this is coming from a healthy, happy place. I don't want anyone reaching out to me going, are you depressed? I'm not. Healthy level, humble depression is where I'm at. But overall, it's been a great last few months. I plan on doing more podcast episodes. And really, I just hope, I don't know, I'm hoping 2022 is the big year. I don't care. I just want it to be good. And I think it will be. Yeah, 2020, this year and last year was still good. And it was lockdown and not lockdown. Like, career-wise, they were both still really good. Personally, I'm going to therapy, so hopefully I'll be a better human. And I think that's it. I don't know. Make sure you go to my website, subscribe to my newsletter, and come out to a show. Unless you can't or something. Like the show I'm doing in Atlanta, the venue that I was able to set up, they're very strict on vaccinations, masks, and I've been getting some comments and messages from people upset about that. And I'm like, hey man, it's not me, it's the venue. All right. If it was up to me, I don't want to be in charge of that. That's the other part of the pandemic that I haven't liked, is like some of the venues, this has only happened a couple times, but some of the venues have asked me, they're like, what do you want to do about masks and vaccination records? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you want to do? What's the city want? Go with the county or the state rules or the federal rules or your rules. You're the business. Don't ask me. I'm a comedian. Like the whole point of me picking this job was that I didn't want responsibility, and definitely not for people's health. I want no part of making the decision for anybody. I can barely decide for myself, so you decide. So anyway, like by the way, the venue in Atlanta didn't ask me what I wanted, and that's how I prefer it. He just told me, he's like, hey man, this is how I run my venue, and I'm like, yeah, do you. But yeah, people are getting upset, and it's like, don't be mad at me. So anytime like people leave something like a comment under my ad, and they go, this is wrong, they're asking for vaccination and blah blah blah, I just go, hey man, that's the venue, that's not me. But please share this to your friends that are vaccinated, because we look forward to having a good show. So that's my like diplomatic response. And so yeah, if you see that and if you have a problem with the vaccination things, don't be mad at me. I'm nobody, dude. All right? High school graduate, no college, 2.75 GPA, average, not smart, not dumb, just a regular guy. All right? I did what I did. I listened to the nerds. You listen to whoever the hell you want. I don't care. Other than that, thank you very much for your support. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for subscribing. And, I forgot to talk about Spotify. If you listen to this podcast on Spotify and you're wondering why my stand-up comedy isn't on Spotify, they don't want to pay comedians the rights to writing their own songs. And then my record company, who represents a lot of comedians, started asking them to start paying comedians for the songwriting residuals that they owed, and their response was to take our comedy down. Which is fine. I think Spotify used to, I think they pay like a 0.008 of a penny per play. So I think they owe me about $12.50. But instead of paying that, they just they just cut us all off. Probably because they owe people like Jim Gaffigan way more. So if you're wondering about that, that's what happened. I guess we did just talk about it. I guess I could sum that up in 20 seconds, and I just did. But yeah, thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing. Go subscribe to my YouTube page. Consider joining it. You can get the podcast with video, which some of you may be watching right now as I'm saying it with my face. And other than that, thank you. Merry Christmas, and I will talk to you in the new year. Ciao, everybody.